Morning, everyone. Today is the 3rd of December, and we're gathered here for the 59th session of Mindfulness for Beginners. And we will warmly welcome Bante Venerable Homagama Dhammakusala Thero for the program, for the guidance in the program. And we will also welcome everyone who's gathered here today via Zoom and who's also listening via MixLR and Facebook Live. Now I'll warmly welcome Bante to start the in-session mindfulness practice. And over to you, Bante.
Hello, everybody. Today we will take some time to do a mindful walking session. Probably around 10 to 15 minutes we will spend trying to practice mindful walking. For this, you have to make sure that you find some space where you can walk back and forth. Probably like 10, 15 steps would be enough. Once you have that space, make sure that it is clean, no disturbances are there. Then you can walk back and forth in a comfortable manner. While walking, we try to be aware that we are walking. We try to be mindful that we are walking. Initially, you might not feel anything, but with time, you feel that you are walking. Probably you feel the texture of the floor that you are walking. Maybe the temperature differences you feel. In addition, how the feet is touching the ground. How the weight is shifting from one leg to the other, these details you might notice, you might observe. Time to time, surrounding sounds may grab your attention. Time to time, various thoughts, emotions, memories might come into your mind. Among all these things, you can be aware that you are walking. Again and again, you can bring your attention to the present moment. Right here, now you are walking in a comfortable manner and you can be aware of that. In addition, the surrounding things may also grab your attention. Surrounding sights may also grab your attention. Bodily sensations you might notice. Among all these things, we try to walk in a comfortable manner, and again, we try to be aware that we are walking. Again and again, we try to be aware about the present moment. Time to time, you feel that the heel is touching the ground, maybe the toes are touching the ground. Again and again, the weight is moving between left leg versus the right leg. So these details you can observe. Again and again, we try to be aware that we are walking in a comfortable manner. So I invite all of you to join for a walking session. We will take some time to be mindful while walking. Okay, everybody, now you can return back to your seats. So that's about 10 to 15 minutes of mindful walking, just to give you an idea about the practice. With that, I think we can move to the next part, Sonali.
Thank you, Bhante. That was a good session of walking meditation. Next in the agenda is to move on to the reading of the reports and the question and answer session. I will kindly invite Arosha to read the reports.
Thank you, Sonali. Thank you, Bhante. So we have three reports for today. And the first report starts, walking meditation. Walked on tiled floor, watching right and left feet. Noted the uneven surface of tiles, temperature differences on the different feet, and weight changes. Muscles contracting in legs and feet. Noises heard, thoughts noted to come and go. After about 45 minutes, the pace changed spontaneously, the mind watching each lifting, moving, placing movement. Then, mind noted three stages of each lift, move, and placing, with gaps between them. Noted the lift of heel of one foot, coinciding with the second and third stage of placing of other foot. When toes fully lifted off the ground, there was a gap before the move and the unsteadiness of standing and balancing on one leg noted. The changes in weight distribution to hip, knee, ankle, etc. Walked 1.5 hours. Sitting meditation. Watched breath as primary object. Noted thoughts arising and passing, but coming back to breath spontaneously. Breath subtle at times and almost disappeared, becoming more prominent again. Mind noted heartbeat, warmth in body, passing from head to toes. Then, after a short period, a cold sensation arose and passed along the whole body. Proliferation of thoughts, prominent at times, eventually mind returning to breath. Meditated 45 minutes. Daily mindfulness. Aware of posture when lying in bed, position of legs, arm, body, and head. Aware of breath. Walking around in the day in the house at times, mind aware of position of feet, noting left, right. Sometimes aware of thoughts and when mind is proliferating. When thoughts of greed toward food arise, aware and watched impatience arise and pass. Recognize the mind being more disinterested in external things now, such as seeing sights and traveling, but felt a sense of urgency to utilize the time to practice, recognizing better opportunities to practice at home at present than if traveling and on holiday, etc. Mind happy and content for now, aware this is changing moment to moment. With much gratitude to Bhante and the organizers. End of report.
Okay, thank you for sharing your experience. As you can see, when you practice more and more, the meditation becomes living. It's like it's an invitation to live more and more, live in the present moment, experience this life. Whatever you are doing, you can approach it as a meditation. That's the idea of the practice. Initially, you might have to start this with a formal practice. You do mindful walking, you do mindful sitting. You try to spend at least like 1 hour daily doing this formal practice. When you continue for a few months, you realize naturally you become mindful even during your day-to-day activities. Naturally, mindfulness becomes a part of your life. That's the idea of the practice. So in a way, we are not doing something special. Instead, we try to be natural in our day-to-day activities. It's more like naturalness in our activities. When you eat something, you just know that you are eating. various things come and go, but again and again you become aware that you are eating. When you drink something, you become aware that you are drinking. When you walk, even during your work hours, you just know that you are walking. That very knowing is the practice that we are doing. Time to time, thoughts come. Time to time, mental status will change. Sometimes you are peaceful. Sometimes you are angry. Those things will come and go. But you can just continue with this practice. So what we are seeing is basically the change in this world. We see that nothing stays permanent. Everything is changing, right? Sometimes you are peaceful, sometimes you are angry. Sometimes your mind is calm, sometimes it is agitated. So these things change. They don't last. Usually what happens is that we get excited and we try to solve these things. But if you just let it be for a while, then you realize within few hours, within few days, it goes away. Nothing lasts, right? So that's what you are experiencing with this practice. Earlier, probably there was this urgency to do things, urgency to solve these problems. That's the usual way. That's how we start. But when more you practice, you realize the problems, they solve themselves. The issues that arise, they settle down with time. You just have to be patient. You just have to be mindful. You just have to continue this practice. That's what we are experiencing. Even during walking, sitting, you feel towards the end of the walking, towards the end of the sitting, this has become more and more natural. The walking becomes automatic. The breathing becomes subtle and automatic. These things are happening. You are just the observer. Same goes for the day-to-day activities. Whatever you do, you try to be aware. You try to be natural in those functions. So again and again, you have to train yourself. Again and again, you have to train. That's the idea. Even you can travel sometimes. Even you can go to crowds. Even you can go to difficult situations and see how the mind is reacting. If the peace is only there when there are no problems, then it's not a permanent one. You have to experiment with it. Sometimes you go do certain things. Sometimes there are responsibilities that you can't avoid. That's fine. Just face them. Try to see how the mind is reacting to these things. Wherever you go, if you are peaceful, whatever you do, if you have this peace in your mind, then that's the correct way of practice. So probably not initially. Initially, you might have to find some space. Initially, you might have to find a quiet space. Initially, you might have to separate from the crowds. But with time, you go back to your life. With time, you face your problems. With time, you do various things. Still, if your mind is peaceful, that's the very practice that we are talking about. So it takes time. Of course, it is not a few days of matter. Instead, it takes time. Probably a few months, few years, you have to continue like this. But with time, you realize that there's kind of a lasting peace in you. It is increasing. You are becoming more and more calm and peaceful. You are not moved by these situations. You are not moved by these thoughts, emotions. That's the peace that you will get. That's the bliss that will arise from the practice. So continue this way. And you can experience this more and more in future.
Thank you very much, Bhante. The second report starts, mindful sitting. Sat on the cushion and adjusted the body into a balanced position. A quick body scan took place. Breath noted soon after. In-breath cooler, out-breath warmer. Thoughts would come and go in between, but this didn't affect the mind. Attention naturally returned to breath. After a while, awareness of breath around the nostrils had reduced. Attention had moved to rise and fall of stomach. Thoughts would emerge again and pass away. Body sat still and at ease. Noted the breath again. Boredom in the mind noted next. Just noted it as a feeling. Boredom came up a few times again, and the urge to end the meditation crossed the mind, although the body sat at ease. It felt like mind wanted to end the meditation while the body had more energy to continue to sit. Attention moved to breath again. Sat for 1 hour. Mindfulness during the day. While offering Buddha Puja, noted how cold the wooden floor was. The urge to pause the activity and wear socks before resuming the puja was prominently in the mind. However, in a split second, the mind had decided to carry on with the activity while accepting the cold temperature on the soles of the feet, in contact with the floor. After a while, the attention had returned to the feet again and now couldn't tell if the floor was still cold or warm or an in-between temperature. In another experience, while brushing teeth, the attention was first on the movements of the hand and the brush for a short period. Then noted fairly clearly how the worrying thoughts about a recent problem were trying to enter the mind. It was so quick when the mind returned to the awareness of brushing instead of focusing on the problem. Usually, the mind is not aware of the moment when the attention moves away from the original activity. This time, it was fairly clear. Thoughts of the recent problem was trying to push through and get the mind's attention, and as if the attention had simply chosen to return to the action of brushing. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback and much merit to Bhante and the organizers. End of report.
Okay, let me start with the day-to-day experiences. As you mentioned, that these things earlier probably you didn't notice how the attention is shifting from various in between various things. Probably you didn't notice earlier. Now with stronger mindfulness, you can feel how this is shifting here and there. How sometimes various thoughts are there in the background. It's like they are waiting, trying to get an opportunity. You are doing something. Certain things are functioning. But still, in the background, certain thoughts, certain feelings are awaiting. It's like they are waiting in line till they get their opportunity. So these things are good observations. These things tell us that it's not actually something that we are doing. It's more like nature, and it is something that's happening, right? So you don't have to claim ownership to this process. You don't have to be responsible for this process. More and more you practice, you realize it is not your choice. You are not responsible for this thing. Instead, it's more like nature that's working. Right, so you can feel how various things, incidents, various sensations, feelings, how they arise in your mind, how the attention is shifted between these things, and how certain things grab your attention over something else. So these things are good observations. Even there was some kind of research or something that they have found that thought processes are happening just to justify reasoning. Initially, the decision is made, then the thought processes are happening. What we are thinking is that we are thinking and then deciding. That's our idea. But when they study, they have found that initially the decision is made. Then the thought processes are happening to justify that decision. right? So this is how the mind works. It's more like some kind of a nature working, and you are trying to claim responsibility for that. You are trying to claim ownership for that. So as a result, you suffer. As a result, you suffer. It's like going to a river and, you know, trying to move this water upstream. That's not happening. That's not happening. The water, the nature of the water, it is going downstream. That's the nature of the water. So if you try to fight it, then you suffer. Same thing with our mind. So when we practice, we try to realize what is happening. We try to observe what is happening. More and more you practice, more and more details you will observe. Right? And as a result, what will happen? As a result, the boredom will arise. That's a good sign that your practice is progressing. Boredom is a good sign. When you see the true nature of these things, when you see the true nature of your mind, as a result, boredom will arise. That's a result, right? When the boredom comes, the same mind will come and suggest you something. It may suggest certain things that you can chase after. It may suggest stopping the meditation and probably watching TV. So certain suggestions are there. Sometimes you can listen to it and see what happens. You can stop your meditation and go and see, are you happy now? You can ask from your mind, right? Still, it is not satisfied. Then it will come and suggest something else. You go on a trip. And after a few days, the mind is not happy. Now it wants to return back home. Various suggestions are there. So try to see how it is happening. Various things it will bring and tell you that this is good for your boredom. It will tell you that these things will solve your problem. Your own mind, right? Again and again, various things are shown to us, suggesting that this will be interesting. This will bring happiness that you are seeking. So that's how this mind works. You realize that more and more you see this true nature, boredom will arise. It's more like a disinterest in this process. You are no longer interested in this process. If you pay attention, things are there. If you pay attention, they become vivid and colorful. But there's no real essence. So that's what happens with meditation. So that's why we say boredom is a good sign. When we practice again and again, some kind of a boredom will arise. This is a sign that mind is little by little realizing the true nature of this world. Little by little, your mind is losing interest in this world. So that's what's happening. So continue this way, and you can experience how the boredom is becoming stronger and stronger. Sometimes it feels like you have fallen asleep. But when you experience again and again, you realize your mind is there, you are functioning, but it feels like boredom because this is something we have never experienced before. So you have to experience it 1001 times. When you experience, more and more light will come to these situations. So that's what I want to suggest.
Thank you, Bhante. The third report begins. General mindfulness and sitting practice. Heard the ringing of the alarm around 5 a.m. Noticed the lethargy in the mind, but the voice inside said to get up. Noted the unusual lack of energy in the mind early in the morning. Had to teach a rugby lesson in school that day. Probably was the root cause of the lack of energy in the mind, as I knew nothing about the subject. Sat down for the sitting practice. initially noted the increased volume of thoughts compared to the usual, noted them arising and passing away, noted the sharp pain in one leg until it was unbearable and changed position. There was no time to go into deep meditation as it was late, noted the annoyance in the mind for having to go to work, but soon made peace with it. Mind was calm after the sitting practice and full of energy once more. Body felt lighter than before. Headed for work. It was a super busy day at school. At the end of the day, there was relief about reaching the weekend. Noted the excitement in the mind. All are conditions of the mind, so what is there to be excited about? Monday would soon come anyway. The only problem with going to work daily is that it's difficult to give the freedom that the heart needs. You do so many pointless tasks, but as lay people, we have to make peace with it. Mind is definitely more peaceful when engaged in Dhamma-related activities. Thank you, Panthe, for all your guidance. With metta to you all. End of report.
Okay, thank you for sharing. As you can see, now certain suggestions are there. Sometimes you don't want to go to work. Sometimes you look forward to the weekend. But again, the weekend goes really fast and the Monday is there. So again, you feel tired, you feel worried. So this is how it works. They said that research has shown that Monday early morning, probably 8 to 9, is with the highest likelihood of getting a heart attack. That's because the worrying is there. Beginning of a work week, right? So everybody is worrying. So that's with the highest likelihood of getting a heart attack. So Monday early morning, you have to breathe deeply and try to relax yourself. So that's how this mind works. And it is refusing the present moment. Usually it is suggesting something in the future, suggesting that it will satisfy you. The weekend will satisfy you. Finishing the work and going back home will satisfy you. Always it is not happy in the present moment. That's what happens with our mind. So in your report, you are having a lot of information regarding that. How this mind is avoiding the present moment and looking into the future, trying to find satisfaction, trying to find happiness. So this is the process that's happening again and again. When we are mindful, in a way, we try to approach each and every activity in a wholehearted manner. Maybe it is not related to Dhamma or practice. Maybe it is your work, but still you can approach it like a meditation. Going to school, teaching kids, you can try and approach it like a meditation, right? Teaching a class, it's very nice, right? You can try and approach it like a meditation. And even the kids feel the difference. They even feel the difference because usually the teacher doesn't like teaching, right? So even the audience, they feel it. So a few days back, we went to this school and the teachers are complaining so much drug addiction, so many love affairs, so many issues in this school, we can't even handle. So they have this attitude towards the children. They have this some kind of anger towards them. So they are not happy. They are not satisfied with their job. They are not satisfied with what they do. So it is natural the children will be spoiled because they can feel the vibration of the teacher. They can feel how irritated the teacher is. So in a way, this is a silent sermon that you are doing. If you can approach your class with a peaceful mind, if you can do that activity wholeheartedly, even the audience, they feel the difference. I have seen this video on YouTube. A teacher, after a long day, before entering the final classroom, he's taking a break. He came in a rush, stopped, and tried to create some kind of a smile, a pleasing face, right? Then entered the classroom. After a long day, really tired, rushing to the class, he took a few seconds to stop and try to have a smile on his face while entering the class. So that type of attitude we have to develop towards these things. Otherwise, you are suffering. You don't have peace in your mind. Same thing will happen. Let's say you let go of all these things. You become a monk. Still, the same thing will be there. If you are not peaceful here, you won't be peaceful anywhere. That's the reality. Sometimes it is difficult to absorb, but that's the reality. Find peace in this moment. Find peace where you are. Then you will be peaceful wherever you go. If you are not peaceful in this moment, if you are not peaceful in this place, if you are not peaceful among your family members, then you won't be peaceful anywhere. So that's the real peace that we are looking after, right? That's the real peace that we are searching. So try to approach these things differently. Try to see, try to train your mind to do each and every activity in a wholehearted manner. They are not related to practice. They are work things, probably family responsibilities. Still, you try to approach it like a meditation. Try to see whether you can accept it in a wholehearted manner. That is the real practice that we are seeking. That is the real way towards peace. So it's a good observation that you are noticing these things. In a way, sometimes you are not prepared. Even certain days, I come to these sessions without any preparation. So even in my mind, wondering what is the topic that I'm going to use in the discussion or the talk. So those things are there. But you do it again and again, then you realize you are present. You try to approach it wholeheartedly. That's the best preparation. Sometimes you do the best performance when you are not prepared, right? So it's not easy, but with time it will come. So you can even feel the entire audience is connected with you, right? A few days back, the same program, there were like 300 kids. And we went and we started. After a while, you can feel the entire audience is involved. The entire group is involved and they are responding. You can feel the expressions on their faces. So it goes very well. So that type of a vibration you have to develop. Probably being present is the best preparation you can have. That's the best way because you can't plan for things. You know, these things, you don't know what's around the corner. So you can't really plan for these things. Best preparation is, of course, being present, being aware, having peace, calmness in your mind. That way, if you can approach little by little, then you realize you're approaching each and every activity like a meditation. Truly, it becomes a meditation if you approach it like that. When you go to school, when you enter a classroom, try to approach it in a meditative way. Try to see how you can connect with the audience when we have that attitude. When we have that attitude in our mind, when you have that vibration in your mind. Then you feel like the entire class is meditating. You feel like the entire class is different. That's how this attitude helps towards our day-to-day life. So try to approach it like a meditation when you go to school. Try to approach it like a meditation. When you do certain tasks, probably you don't like them. Probably they are not pleasing, but still, you can approach it like a meditation. That wholeheartedness is what we are seeking after. With practice, it will grow. So you can just continue and you will see how it is supporting you, how it is growing.
Thank you very much, Bhante, for those insightful pieces of advice and guidance, which incredibly help all of us in our practice, I think, not just the participants who've shared their reports. So thank you very much, Bhante, for that. I'd also like to thank all the participants who have shared reports. As I said, it does help us all to hear your experiences and to listen to the guidance on how we can develop our practice all together. So we now come to the stage of the session where there's an opportunity for those present to ask any questions they might have. That might be to share some of your own practice or to ask a question relating to the practice. So I'll give you a few seconds if you have a question to raise your Zoom hand, so that I can unmute you and invite you to contribute. I don't see any hands being raised, and therefore I will hand back to Sonali to carry on today's program. Thank you, Sonali.
Thank you, Arusha, for that lovely question and answer session, which we had no questions surprisingly for. And thank you, Bhante, for your guidance. The next in the agenda is to share some videos for the benefit of the beginners or for anyone who is willing to refresh on the mindfulness sitting and walking sessions. The two videos are on mindfulness walking. The first one is, and the next one is about sitting. For any beginner, please use these videos as a guidance. Once you watch it, you can then set aside some time to do the meditation. Don't be put off by any reports that you saw today that said they sat for 1 hour. If you haven't done it before, start with 5 minutes and work your way up, build your way up to the 1 hour, which is the recommended time. And then you can write the reports in your own words and send it to us using the Google format that's on the screen now, or the email, which is beginnersnv@gmail.com. So when you write the reports, we'd like to see it in three stages. First one, well, the mindfulness sitting, walking, and mindfulness in the daily activities. When you write on the report, remember to write your own experience. It's not a knowledge test. It's about what you felt. About if it's walking, it's about how your feet felt, what thoughts that disturbed you, and any difficulties you faced in the session. And it's about sitting. It's about any thoughts that disturbed you, or any bodily sensation you felt, or any experiences that you felt yourself. Mindfulness in daily practice, again, any session that you felt you were aware during that week, you can write a report on that session as to how it went for you. And then when you share, we will present it to Bhante, and Bhante, as you saw today, will give us some guidance on it. We will move on to the next session in the agenda, which is to invite Bhante for your talk today. Bhante, over to you for a talk. We couldn't have one last week as well because we had a lot of questions. So this time, hopefully, we can have a good talk. Thank you, Bhante.
Thanks, Sonali. So we will take some time to discuss a little bit about the practice. So as I mentioned earlier, I'm not prepared today. So probably we can discuss something and see how it goes, right? So today I thought of saying something like this. Now in this world, we get a lot of information, when you sit in front of a TV, or maybe when you sit in front of a computer, or even the device in your hand, a phone, that will give you a lot of valuable information. When I say valuable, they appear to be valuable. They will suggest a lot of details, a lot of photos, things about probably the war in Ukraine. Or they will suggest something, a flood in some other country that killed hundreds of people. So a lot of things are there, a lot of details are there. Social media, when you go, you can find so many details. Now everybody is a reporter, right? And they are suggesting their own reporting. They are recommending their own story with photos, videos, all these details. So we are, in a way, living in this new age where we can get a lot of information. They appear to be valuable when you look at them, but are they truly valuable? It's a question to be asked. This information, does it matter to your life? Of course, there is a war in Ukraine. Does it matter to your life that you are living? Of course, there is a flood in some other country. Does it matter? Does it help with your day-to-day life? Does it help with your peace in mind? So it's a question to be asked. In a way, this is the poisonous apple of knowledge. Right? You can't resist. You can't resist. And you take a bite of it, and it is poisonous. As soon as you take a bite, you start suffering. So again and again, in a way, you are bombarded with this information. They only create anxiety. No other result is there. Not helpful for your day-to-day life. Not helpful to have peace in your mind. And when you really think about these things, these sources, they are totally money-driven. They are selling something. And more they sell, it is natural that they will earn more and more money. So that's what happening, right? If you think about the mainstream media, they are totally money driven. They want to sell more and more advertising. And if they want to sell more and more advertising, they want to attract more and more users. What is the source of attraction? When you show some sceneries, probably a war, then that's a source of attraction. When you create some kind of a story about a horrible thing that has happened, then that's a source of attraction. So this is how they attract views. This is how they attract users. What is the result that the user will get? They will have more and more anxiety in their mind. They will start worrying about these situations, these things. Think about the past pandemic period. How much worrying was there? It's like Corona is coming on the way to catch you. Right? Day by day, they are reporting. Here it goes. How many people killed? Here it comes. A new vaccine is there. They, again and again, they are reporting. Again and again, they are giving all these details, information, and makes you suffer even more and more. Makes you anxious about these things. And it is said that when you experience the real thing versus when you worry about it, same brain areas active. So in a way, you are suffering the same. When you experience it for real, you are suffering. Of course, that's true. But when you worry about it, same regions are activated. You are suffering in the same way. So this is what the information, this is what the knowledge is giving us. This is the result that we will get. That's why you can clearly see, try to spend few hours on social media and see what happens. observe the change in your mental status. So that's called a feed. It's like they are feeding you information. You can't even stop. It is like more like programmed. When you use those platforms like TikTok, it goes naturally. Again and again, sliding, sliding, sliding. And probably you have spent 2 hours before you realize it. So that's how addictive these things are. That's how they feed information to us. But when we really think about it, is it useful? Probably not. It is creating more and more harm. It is creating you anxious. It is not helping with your life. It is not helping you with your family life. It is not helping with your social connections. It is not helping with your job. It is not helping with your peace in mind. So this is the poisonous apple of knowledge that we are talking about. So what's the alternative? What's the suggestion you may ask? So the very first thing is that see the harm in these things. See how these things are influencing your mind. See how these things are creating anxiety in your mind. So that's the very first step. See how harmful they are. Especially the new generation, they are addicted to these things. And probably like 15, 16 years, they become suicidal. They think that nobody loves them. They hate their family members. They hate their parents. And when they have a problem, they go ask it on Facebook. 1,000 people will suggest 1,000 answers. 1,000 people that they don't know. Right? God knows who. And they suggest something. Sometimes they ask, am I worthy of living? And those are the questions that they ask. Nobody loves me. Right? Those are the statements that they make. So this is the result of this information. This is the result of this social media. 15 years, 16 years, children, they become suicidal. 15 years, 16 years, children, they become mass murderers. They take a gun, they go to their school, and they shoot everybody. So that type of a mentality is created by these information sources. So first, if you see the harm in these things, then of course you can start working towards some solution. Probably you can start measuring how many hours you are using your phone screen. There are certain apps for that. You can really see how many hours of usage. Sometimes you can really see how many touch points are there within a day. So that's a good way. That's a good start. You see the harm in these things and you try to measure, you try to limit yourself. And when you observe it, when you become aware about it, you realize that more and more hours you spend on these things, more and more anxious you will become. More and more agitated your mind will become. When you see that, you can slowly move towards some other solution. Now, when we are mindful, we really see the harm in these things. Usually, certain people are there, they like to listen to music. Right? If you are mindful, when you listen to a song that you like, when you listen to it a few times, then probably the whole day, you can hear that song playing in the background. Again and again, it is repeated. It feels like this song is chasing after me. So that's an observation when we have mindfulness. So man-made music always, it is again and again repeated. In a way, it is spoiled. But the nature's music, there is no real harm. You go to a beach and you listen to the sea, and it is calming, it is peaceful. You go to a forest and you sit for a while. It is calming and the wind is blowing. It is peaceful. You go near a waterfall and you just sit. The sound is pleasing. But when it comes to man-made music, it's always some kind of a harm is there. It is spoiled in a way. So when we observe these things, when we observe how this information is creating anxiety in me, when we observe how these wars and some photos, maybe videos, how they make you worry again and again. The entire day you think about that situation. The entire day you worry about that. And when you're mindful, you can really observe, you can really notice the harm in these things. Then of course you can limit your usage. You can move towards more important things in your life. It's important that you ask that question. What are the things that are important to you? Probably peace in your mind is priority. Then you have to find a way towards that. Probably the relationships that you have with your family members is a priority. Then of course you can spend some time towards that. Then probably work matters are priority. Then of course you can spend your time towards that. It's not like all information is harm, all knowledge is harming. Instead, you have to pick and choose. You have to be wise where you give your attention. You have to choose it wisely. Otherwise, if you just allow it to be, if you just allow the attention to be, then you will end up probably depressed or probably suicidal. You have to wisely choose what you are giving your attention to. So that's the way. That's why in this new age, most people, they don't take a TV. Whenever they want to find something, they can of course find it on YouTube or on the internet. And they are not using a TV. More and more people, they are moving towards dumb phones. Where you just have a phone, you can receive text, you can have a call. But there are no apps. So dumb phones are a thing in this world. Because people are noticing the harm in these things. Then of course, some people, they give up their social media accounts. They start to see the harm in these things. How many hours spent per day on social media with people you call your friends, but probably haven't seen for real. So this way you can move towards healthy lifestyles. This way you can utilize your attention wisely. So that's something important, right? So you have to make sure that you are doing it. Especially practice, especially being mindful, especially having few minutes, probably around 1 hour for your meditative practice. And probably 1 more hour for exercising. Maybe some time to sit in nature, probably sit in the garden or probably have a walk in nature. So those things are important. They will create peace in your mind. They will help you to get rid of this anxiety in your mind. Spending few hours on social media, it won't help. Sitting in front of a TV for a few hours, it won't help. So in a way, you are mindful. In a way, you see harm created by these things. In a way, you see, you observe the result of using social media for a few hours. In a way, you observe the result of watching TV for a few hours. When you observe it, when you notice the harm, then of course you can gradually move towards healthy things. That's why more and more people, they give up their TVs. That's why they give up their social media accounts. That's why they are moving towards those dumb phones. Little by little, some people, only a small portion of the society, they are realizing what truly matters. They are realizing that sitting with their family, having the dinner together, it matters. They are realizing talking to their kids, it matters. They are realizing meditating at least for 1 hour per day, it matters. They are realizing exercising daily, it matters. They are realizing walking in nature, it matters. So these are the real things that matters. If there are media that is not money driven, then they should be discussing these things. They will tell you, okay, these are the things that matters in your life. These are the habits that you should be developing. Only if they are not money driven, they should be talking about these things. Because these are the things that really matters in your life. When you meditate daily, when you make it a habit of your daily life, then you realize within few hours, within few days, within few months, how much of a change it is creating. How much of a peace it is creating in my mind. How it is helping me to face different situations wisely. Of course, certain things will come. You might have to face various situations, various problems, incidents will happen. But if you have that attitude in your mind, if you can face these situations with a calm mind, then you can choose wisely. So in a way, it's a real test for a meditator. When you face a difficult situation, that's a real test of your meditation. And that's how you are going to approach your life. If something matters, of course, you will find it. You will find that information. You don't have to worry. Some people, they think if we are not owning a TV, if you are not using these type of apps, then you won't find information. The information that matters, of course, you can find it. Eventually, they will come to you if it matters. Sometimes they think that they can't network with people. You can try and check, go to your social media accounts, see how many people that you have met in person. Probably only a handful of people that you have met in person. Others are just some people probably that you used to work with, probably that you went to college with. Do they matter in your life? No, it's only a handful of people that's in your life that matters. So you have to make sure that you are spending your time on them. You have to make sure that you are spending your time wisely. So that's the idea of the practice. In a way, when we are more and more mindful, we start to notice these little details. We start to notice how these things are harming you. We start to notice how these things are troubling your day-to-day life. So again and again, you can take action towards a healthy life. Again and again, you can avoid doing bad habits and move towards something healthy. Every time you do it, your brain is reprogrammed. Every time you do it, your addictions are broken. Just a little bit. Again and again, you have to train yourself to choose wisely. Nothing will help you. You have to be aware in this present moment. Because in this present moment, again and again, you are choosing things. It's not in the past. It's not in the future. It's in the present moment. That's why we say approach everything as a meditation. Each and every activity you do, approach it like a meditation. If you have that calming mind, if you have that attitude towards these things, then you realize each and every moment you are choosing things. Can you choose it wisely? That's the question that we're asking. Of course, we make mistakes. Not just lay people, even as monks, we make mistakes. But you can see that you have made a mistake. You can see mistake as a mistake. Then again and again, you can correct yourself. Not within a day, not within a week, probably within few months, within few years, you can move towards a better, healthy, more calming lifestyle. So that's the very idea of this practice. Of course, I can explain this, but you have to practice. It takes time. It takes time. You can gradually start. If you are new here, can you at least sit for 10 minutes per day? Start your day with mindful sitting. Start your day with 10 minutes of sitting. Then when you walk during your day-to-day life, try to be mindful. Probably every day you are walking few kilometers. Try to be mindful. Then little simple tasks that you are doing, try to be aware while doing them. Brushing your teeth, eating something, drinking something, just for a few minutes, try to be aware. That way, if you can continue for a while, then you start to see this. You start to see how various things are harming you. How so-called information, how so-called knowledge is harming you. When you see that, of course, you can take action. Of course, you can move towards healthy things. At the end of the day, it's the peace in mind that we are looking after, that we are searching. That's what we want to achieve in this life. If you can find peace in your mind, that's what matters. As humans, the best thing you can achieve in this life is finding peace. That's what's important. Otherwise, you always look for things. You run for so many years, but still you are suffering. Money can't bring you peace in mind. Luxuries can't bring you it. Instead, you have to gradually grow this practice. Instead, you have to gradually move towards a healthy lifestyle. So that's the idea for today. I invite all of you to try this on your own. All of you to try and see how this information, how these social media or probably televisions are creating chaos in your mind. And if you see that harm, if you see the harm of the phones that you are using, if you see the chaos that they are creating, then gradually you can move towards a healthy lifestyle. So with that invitation, I'm ending the talk for today. And may you have a mindful week ahead.
Thank you very much, Pante, on that very insightful talk on using social media. which is very timely for all of us. All of us are trapped in this situation where we have to sometimes have to use it for work or various other purposes, but then gets bogged down into other social scrolling, as you said, as in to the get be a slave to the feed that they're feeding. And I'm sure most of us have been there, but on a daily basis as well, we do have to use some of these apps to either to, you know, use it for shopping or use it for bus times or whatever it is. Everything seems to be on one of these apps. So it's a little bit difficult to completely stay away. But as you said, if you're mindful, we can strike that perfect balance between the two. Thank you very much, Bhante, for that. Since we have a few minutes, I was wondering if anyone else has any questions on today's, any aspect of today's talk or the questions. We can give a few minutes to everyone to ask any questions and open this forum to anyone who has any idea or any thoughts they would like to share. It doesn't necessarily have to be on this topic, but if you have any experience you'd like to share, please do so. We do seem to have a very quiet audience today, Bhante. It's very unusual, to be honest, because the last couple of sessions, there were a lot of questions. So maybe it's one of those sessions that everyone agrees with everything and doesn't really have any questions. In that case, oh, there is one hand. Okay, so let's move on to Nadeep. Would you like to share your thoughts? Unmute yourself and share your thoughts.
Yeah, thank you, Sonali. I thought just, you know, break the silence. And we had a lot of questions last week as well. This is regarding actually how my mindfulness practice helped me to overcome some of the bodily pain. In the sense that, because I play, you know, everyone knows that I play cricket, a lot of cricket. Okay, this first time I had the injury for the season, and it was the almost broken ankle. But it the doctors and nurses says after the scan, it's a bone bruise, no fractures there. And when I went to the hospital, what happened was everyone actually saw my ankle, how much it's swollen, and then the surprise, it wasn't broken, and asking me, offering me painkillers. I said, I don't take painkillers, because this is the third time I had a close, because previously I had three broken fractures. I didn't take the painkillers, and this time too, so I didn't want the painkillers. And then because the pain arising, I was mindful by the pain arising and also the passing away. This is, I was practicing and not just this moment and previous occasions as well. And then just wanted to, you know, say thank you to the Bhante and also our Lokaswami Nohanse teaching us, you know, how to deal with those very painful situation. And because as we're getting older, we're going to get, you know, a lot of pain and we have to deal with it. So I think I'm prepared for it as I'm getting older as well. And yeah, just so happy that still it's a, if I, you know, share with the photo, let me see. It's a, yeah, if you can see, this is how it is. Yeah. It is pain. Pain is there, but still I didn't take any medication or it's only the ice pack. Yeah, and then I bandage it in the night. Yeah, that's the only thing I did. And yeah, thank you very much. And thank you for being so mindful. And yeah, it's not controlling anything. Yeah, it's being mindful about the pain. Yes.
Okay, good that you are aware that you are getting old. Right? Probably one day you might have to give up cricket as well. Right? So anyway, when these things come, we can actually be mindful when the sickness comes, when some accident kind of a thing happens, then you can really see. Sometimes you might have to take some painkillers. If the injury is too much, then you can't really survive, right? So it's okay. We are not stopping that. Instead, we try to accept more and more. We try to let it be. That's the best healing. Now, when you are sick, you try to get rid of the sickness. That's what we do. We gather all the medicine and try to get rid of the sickness. When you are injured, you want to get rid of it as soon as possible. But that's not how the body works. Instead, let it be there. Just accept the sickness. Just let the injury be and try to see how, what is the message that it's saying. Probably a sickness, it will have a message. If you are ready to listen to it, of course. If you are listening, early signs you can see. When you see the early signs, of course you can take some kind of a green tea or some kind of a thing and it'll help. But we are so busy with other things, we are so unmindful, we don't hear the early signs. When the sickness hits you, and when you are sick like a dog, then only you hear the message of the sickness. But if you are mindful, if you are aware about your body, then you can detect it. Even like a few days before, you can detect it. You can see how the body is reacting to this illness. And at that stage, if you take a small kind of a green tea or something, or paspango or something, then that will help. So that's how listening to your body is important. Sometimes if you listen to your body is asking for some water. But you are so busy with your work, you don't have time. Sometimes your body is asking for a toilet break, but you are so busy, you don't have time. That's not the way of the practice. Instead, we are suggesting checking in with your body. Every now and then, you check in with your body. You listen to the message that it's saying. Maybe it is asking for some water, or probably a snack, or probably a bathroom break. So you do it, you listen to your body, you read the signs, and you become more and more calm and peaceful, healthy in your body and mind. So this art of listening to your body is very important. Otherwise, you fight, you work, and within few weeks, you are sick for few days because you haven't listened to your body. If you are listening, it's like maintaining a vehicle, right? You have to do the servicing. You have to do it properly. If you do it, then no breakdowns, no issues. You can run it for so many years. So same thing goes for this body. Keep listening to it. Check in with your body every now and then. Every hour or so, just pay attention to your body. See what is happening. Okay, it is asking for some water. Drink some water. Okay, it is asking for a toilet break. Go for that. So that type of awareness is important. Otherwise, we are just lost in thoughts. We are just lost in our work and you don't know what's happening. So it's a valuable point that you mentioned. You have to make sure that you are listening to your body. You have to make sure that you are answering those calls. When you do that, you can function in a relaxed, calm manner. Even you can function without painkillers. Sometimes you might have to take one or two. Sometimes you might have to accept it. But still, we little by little, we develop this art of listening to our body, which is very important if you want to live a healthy life in your mind and body.
Thank you, Bhante. Thank you, Nadeep, for sharing that experience with us as well. And as you said, most of the time, painkillers do give medication or stop the signal that's going to our brain rather than helping the situation. So if we can handle it, as Bhante said, yes, we must see if we can be aware of it rather than take any medication. Then thank you very much, Bhante and Nadeep. And I think we have come to the end of the program now. I will give my thanks to Venerable Homagama Dhammakusila Thero for your guidance in meditation as well as guidance in all our practice. And having that the talk about social media today as well. We must also thank Venerable Udayiriyagama Dhammajiva Thero for his idea to initiate the program and for all the participants today for who has come here, shared your thoughts and participated, which encourages all of us to keep going. And of course, to the host and all the co-hosts and everyone behind the scene who's organizing as well. Thank you very much for all of you. And please keep writing your reports, and that will keep the session going. And and Bhante will give his guidance to our practice, to improve our practice. And I think we have come to the end of the session. If there is nothing else to be shared, I think. Yes, thank you very much for all your comments, and wish you a mindful and happy week. I will end the session. Namanta, you can end the session now. Thank you.